You know what that theme means. That's right. In the key of C, it's time for another get-together at the Radio Backyard Fence and our May edition of Toxic Talk Tuesday. Oh, don't you dare tune that dial away or click delete to your podcast, because even if you don't like what we're about to discuss, and I don't think there's anybody on the planet, but even if you're not interested, this is going to be fun. There will be smiles, there will be laughs, because two people who are married who actually like each other a little bit will be together again. That's right, my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry, will be along today. And here is a warning, this program may be dangerous because you may start looking at the tags on other people's clothing. I'm just warning you right now, that may be what happens to you. We'll be joined by my toxic life coach, Miss Toxin Free 2013, voted by her graduating class at the University of Virginia as the most likely not to wear rayon. Trish McMillan's our producer today. Lee Rugen, our engineer. Elizabeth Osaturo answering your calls at 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. ChrisFabryLive.org is how you get in touch with us. You go there, click on the contact us and send an email. We have the like us on Facebook and the follow me on Twitter thing at Chris Fabry. But all the hub of that is ChrisFabryLive.org. Now, live and direct from the Cactus Compound, a detox center, and her perch from high atop Mount Kilimanjaro Clothing, it's founder of Moms Aware, mother of nine, Andrea Fabry.
Thank you for having me. Very excited.
What an introduction, huh?
I like that. Can you repeat the name of the mountain?
Mount Kilimanjaro Clothing.
I like it.
The clothes of Kilimanjaro Clothing. Andrea Fabry is founder of Moms Aware, an organization dedicated to raising awareness about health and our environment. We've had her here before. Tell us how to make your own laundry detergent, how to deal with critters in the yard. And I would dare say, Andrea, when I talked about what we're going to talk about here today, we have gotten more response.
We have had more response on this upcoming topic than any topic so far.
Yes, before
the program. There's a lot of interest in the whole textile industry, garment fashion. Mm-hmm. What are we wearing? What's in our couches even? Babies and sleepwear. It's endless. This is an endless topic.
And how did you get interested in this, Andrea, coming from your background in economics and radio? at the University of Virginia, graduated the University of Virginia, Katie Couric graduated a year before you did.
She did. That's true. Now you've given away my age, which is just fine. It's absolutely true. You know, going from economics to toxicity has not been an easy journey, but I have, you know, it all comes down to this, the use of chemicals and what it's done in our environment and our health, chemicals versus natural. And of course, we had a toxic exposure in our home, which is more of a biotoxic type, you know, toxicity, if you will. But because of that, I have become very aware of what chemicals are doing to us. And it can be very slow. And some people, you know, do fine. But overall, what is going on in our world and what are the trends we're seeing? And, you know, we're seeing a lot of things reversing, a lot more awareness. So this is quite a time to be alive, really.
So what do you hope people will do then? As we get to the end of this program, do you hope people will be very, very scared to go into a clothing store?
Not at all. It's just like any other program. I hope it's painless. I hope this causes us to think about it and just entertaining the ideas that we're going to talk about here. And I know we're going to hear from some really good listeners who maybe have some experience of what some of the synthetic materials and...
Hey, all of my listeners are good listeners.
They are. That's so true. But, you know, I'll go back to what the Rational Dress Society, their purpose statement.
That would be my purpose statement. The Rational Dress Society
was founded in 1881 in London.
By whom?
The Rational Dress Society.
By the people who started, of course.
Grassroots movement. They were protesting. What do you think they were protesting at the time?
Charles Dickens?
Tight-fitting clothing, corsets.
Ah.
But let's go back. This is a quote now from the Rational Dress Society of 1881.
Let me just stop right there. I had no idea that we were going to have a quote that was this old, and it was from the Rational Dresses.
You just never know.
It's amazing.
Yes. And here's what it said. They were protesting against dress that, quote, either deforms the figure, impedes the movements of the body, or in any way tends to injure health. Their goal, and this would be my goal for each person, just as it was for the society, sought to ensure each person would be, quote, dressed healthily, comfortably, and beautifully. So there you have it. You asked me my vision, and that would be it.
Comfortably, beautifully, and healthily?
Is that healthily.
Comfortable, beautiful, and healthy.
So the question really is are we sacrificing, again, because you think about corsets and some of the organ damage. I mean, there was a lot of health issues that went along with that, and it was progress when we let go of some of that tight-fitting clothing and a lot of progress in the last 100 or
so
years.
Come on. I'm just thinking of... Fashion, there's something on your website about fashion. We're going to do a quiz here in a minute, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. The first thing that I think I mentioned to you was high-heeled shoes.
That's the first thing that came to your mind as far as irrational dress?
Because, not because I don't like high-heeled shoes or women who wear high-heeled shoes, but when, I can remember when I was a kid, to look at this, it was like, this makes no sense to me. Somebody's going to turn an ankle, and how could you look at that and say that this is a good thing for women's ankles or men's or whomever puts those on?
Right.
It didn't make any sense
and
to
it's,
me.
Okay. Well, there you go. See, you're into the topic already.
I am, and I'm energized. Here's what Kimberly said on Facebook. This is fascinating. My kids both got rashes from wearing their new clothes before they were washed. Mm. It was interesting what I had read about the spraying of clothes because of bugs. And as a sewist, I am disheartened that not more fabric is available organic. I've not been able to find info about fabric regarding the workers' condition, pay, and chemicals. So that's part
She's
of what
right on track.
We're going to talk about today. And if you have a question, you have a comment, 877-548-3675. Go online to chrisfabrylive.org, and you'll see a link to Moms Aware and what Andrea has put there, this toxic-free fashion. A quiz is coming up on this edition of Chris Fabry Live. I think this is a first for a Toxic Tuesday with my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry, Andrea Kessel Fabry. She is now joined by Tebow the Wonder Dog, who heard her talking and had to come into the studio. And so now
here
we are joined.
I know he's going to be perfectly behaved.
The rise of the use of synthetic fabrics, common chemicals used in clothing. What about wrinkle-free? What about flame retardants in furniture and clothing? We're going to talk about all that today. If you have a question or a comment, 877-548-3675. All right, Andrea, the floor
ready
is yours.
Ready for your question.
I'm ready.
This fabric was the first true synthetic fabric introduced in 1939 for the mass production of parachutes.
Mass production of parachutes.
Do you want a choice or you want to fill in the blank? It's up to you.
Can you give me what it starts with? Do you have a multiple choice?
Sure, I can do that.
Let's take the multiple choice.
Because I avoid multiple choice because you said before you can pick the answer by my expression. But okay.
Should I look away?
Yeah.
Turn away.
A, nylon. B.
Oh, it's nylon. I'll say it's nylon.
Yeah, okay. Good. Very good.
But not because of any way you looked. It's just
that you knew that.
Part
so
of
that
my...
was the very first synthetic, true synthetic fabric.
Nylon, friends. I got it.
I was going to skip this one, but I think because of our previous discussion about shoes,
yes.
A study conducted in...
Wait. What did we talk about shoes?
Hmm? Oh,
when did we talk about
you
shoes?
You mentioned that you thought...
Oh, the high heels. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
A study conducted in 2008. That was a long time ago. I understand forgetting. A study conducted in 2008 documented that people who wear this type of shoe take shorter steps and the heels of their feet hit the ground with less vertical force than when they wear other shoes. That's a quote.
It's got to be high heels, though.
It's not.
Well, okay. It can't be high heels. Don't judge me yet.
I'm not.
Lee, you're so judgmental.
Steps. This is
shorter steps.
Nice job, Lee.
Boots.
Good guess. It's flip-flops.
Okay.
Which just brings the issue to the table of the kind of chemicals that are in shoes. And I'm not going to go down that road too much. It's something to think about. I like to invest in organic socks, and that's all I'll say. The chemical, this chemical was discovered by a German scientist. Nothing wrong with flip-flops, by the way, but as a general, you know, too many flip-flops.
They're mass-produced.
There can be a lot of chemicals.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Not mentioned in that study.
Okay, gotcha.
This chemical was discovered by a German scientist in 1861 who extracted methanol from the charcoaling of wood. I'll continue. A highly toxic chemical, it is effective as a permanent press wrinkle-proofing agent because it's a simple molecule that can connect individual fibers and allow them to hold their shape after repeated cleanings. 1861.
Am I looking for a chemical here?
Would you like multiple choice?
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Triclosan, Teflon, formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde.
Very good. Nice.
But not because I saw that in an email that came in yesterday after they found out and they talked about the formaldehyde in the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I knew that one. So I'm 2 out of 3. Wow.
There are 3 things required on a clothing label. Can you name one of them?
The country of origin.
Correct. Yes. Nice. We'll talk about the other 2 in a moment. What percentage of clothing is sold in the United States? I'm sorry, what percent of clothing sold in the United States is made in America? And there's a range here. So if you get anywhere near the range.
How close do I have to be? Like within 10% or 5%?
I'd say
6%. 6%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
So
okay.
What
percentage of the clothes sold in the U.S. are made in the U.S.?
Much better.
Okay.
Yes.
I would say 10%.
That's very good. It is. Well, now this is why you were allowed a range. I've seen ABC News on a recent story said 98% is made out of the country. And then some of the other Consumer Reports said 90%. So there you go.
I'd go with Consumer Reports every time.
Which is, you know, and this is our challenge to our listeners today. And Chris and I. And you do have the best. That is to look
tell Gary
today
that.
When at the dinner table, everybody turn to the right and look at the shirt label on your neighbor's. Look at the label on your neighbor's shirt. If they don't mind, don't, you know, ask permission. It can be a boundary issue and see the country.
Henry
of origin.
Cloud is on the line. Boundaries and shirt
so
labels.
I looked at Chris's label this morning, and what was on the shirt? I don't remember what country it was.
Pakistan.
Okay, yeah.
And but I love the people of Pakistan.
It has nothing to do.
Lee is just having so much fun today.
And honestly, we can get into later in the program the issue of fair trade and the way we, you know, the way we treat some of the people in these countries,
but wait.
And for the purpose of so,
isn't this whole thing what you're talking? Where we're going now, isn't this the same as the food thing? What we want in America, what I want is to go someplace and to pay as little as I can with the market. You know, let the market be it what it does. I want to pay as little as I can to live as comfortably as I can. And I do that with my food, and I can stick it in the microwave, or I can do, I don't want to spend any time, you know, working on it. I don't want to have to make my shirt. I don't want to buy it and put it on, and I don't want it to cost an arm and a leg. Isn't that the same thing?
That's exactly right. And this is why we've outsourced our clothing industry. And in the 1960s, 80% of our clothing was made in this country. So this is a very recent phenomenon, and it's something to take note of because there are working condition sweatshops, and all this is coming to light, especially with recent tragedies in Bangladesh, for instance. And we have to, I think,
where
as
there were was something like
1,100 people killed in a garment
fire, factory fire.
And we have to take note, and we are the ones that can become aware enough to support those who want to treat others and other. It's not that we don't want to support people and give them an opportunity to advance economically. I think that's a great opportunity. But what are we really doing? And I think it's a very fair question to look at.
All right, here's the number, 877-548-3675. Are we done with the quiz?
I have one more,
if that's okay.
Do you have time?
Sure.
Okay.
For you, Andrea.
All right. This textile dye is the leading cause of textile dermatitis.
What is textile dermatitis?
Well, you know,
a rash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This textile dye Okay.
And would you like multiple choice? I think I would. I would take multiple. If it were me, I would.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's the golden rule.
Basic red, dispersed blue, acid.
it's got to be acid.
No, it's not. It's dispersed blue. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lee. Dispersed blue. And the reason I brought that up, not because we generally know this.
Because you knew it is why you brought it up.
Darker color, yeah. The blues, the blacks, and so browns even, we tend to react more to those when they are in synthetic fabrics. Now, the good news is when these, and this is in testing done in scientific studies, when the blue dye, the dispersed dye, is in natural fibers, we don't tend to react as much. So that's just a little tidbit of information. If you do react to clothing, it might be dark colored. It might be synthetic.
Hmm. All right. So bottom line then, and we're going to go to your calls here in just a minute. Hang on, Susan. I appreciate you calling. What you are saying to us is open our eyes. Let's think about what we're wearing. And one of the things that we have talked about off air here, this has not been with our good listeners, but it is that many times we gravitate. If you gravitate toward comfort rather than style, you tend to make a little bit better decisions.
It's so true. And I look at, you know, I've been married to Chris for 30 years, and he has gravitated to one fabric in 30 years. And, you know, it's kind of hard on you in the years
Burlap.
Gone by. I really was, you know, variety. And I just know that intuitively you have always loved cotton, haven't you?
I have. I'll admit it right here.
And I think
I'm Chris, and I love cotton.
Who doesn't like to get home from work or wherever and just get into something comfortable that's loose fitting, which is another key element of health and clothing, and something that's soft and just feels like your skin can breathe? And that is very intuitive when it comes to our health.
All right. So we're going to talk about, just go across the board, we're going to talk about all kinds of clothing, all kinds of fabric. You've read, you've got to tell the title of the book that you read that brought this out to you that you've just.
Well, it's just one of the, but the book title was Killer Clothes, which I know can be a little daunting of a title, but it's very, it's excellent. If you get, you know, you have to get past, I'm not a purist when it comes to my clothing and synthetics, but for the most part, what it did was affirm, no wonder I've always liked cotton.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't worn a lot of wool. There's a lot to say for wool. And some of you out there know just how wonderful wool, when it's organic, can be.
Oh, yes.
Rayon is one of those semi-synthetic. It has an element of wood cellulose or plant cellulose in it. So it's partly synthetic and partly natural. So when one of my daughters, of any synthetic, she can wear rayon, but she reacts to polyester. So you learn what you can tolerate and what, you know, what just feels comfortable.
All right. Susan is in Massillon, Ohio. Susan, thanks for calling today on a Toxic Tuesday.
Hi, Susan.
Good morning. Good evening. Afternoon, whatever time it is.
Whatever it is, yes.
Well, I just want to make a comment. Years ago, when I was wearing pantyhose to work and stuff, I got a nasty rash called Pity Rise with Rosia. They said, you know, if you wash your pantyhose first, it won't happen. So from then on, I got washed every pair of knee highs, pantyhose, or thigh highs.
So every time you wore that type of hose, you would get a rash.
Yes, itchy and scaly, kind of like what ringworm kind of looks like, round and.
And then it would go away, I assume, if you didn't wear it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nylon's tough. Any of these, there is no. The skin is meant to breathe, and with synthetic fabric, the skin can't breathe.
Yes.
So think of what pantyhose were doing all those years. Thankfully, I think we're moving away out of that direction, but there you go.
All right. So what if you, you know, this seems like a question that doesn't need to be asked, but if you continue to have these rashes and you continue to wear the same thing, a lot of people don't put those two together, right?
Ron, I remember one of your callers, she wasn't putting together that they would react to their bedding with the nasal and sneezing and all that until she took out the dryer sheets. And then that went away. So she got the connection between the chemicals, and it's the same issue. Dryer sheets, we tend to need dryer sheets because the synthetics, when they're washed and dried, tend to not smell very good. And so the dryer sheets cover that up. If you wash 100% organic cotton start to finish, you don't need them.
Hmm. So how do you deal with that then when you are washing these synthetic clothing?
Well, the idea then is to, because you get a lot of static cling with synthetic clothing too because of the electrical charges, so wash those separately. Try and line dry your synthetics. That's another thing you can do, and use some natural, you know, essential oil in your wash. There are a lot of things you can do, but one recommended thing is to wash them separately. Don't wash the cottons and the synthetics together, and you'll get a better outcome.
Hey, thanks for your call today, Susan, and what you've been through. 877-548-3675. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, and you click on through, there is this article about friendly fabrics for toxic-free fashion.
Say that 10 times.
That is pretty
friendly
good.
Friendly fabrics for toxic-free fashion.
There's even a link to the Rational Dress Society, which, again, I had no idea we were going to go into that today. But you can find it there, the link. And you've even got the U.S. Department of Defense in here.
Because they have banned that, where they don't allow their Marines to wear synthetics off base. Because they're a burn hazard. And think about it. It's going to melt on your skin, those high temperatures, and they're at risk, and then they get burns. So I think we can learn from that.
Yes. All right. All right. Your call is straight ahead, 877-548-3675. I think you did pretty well with the quiz.
You did
this
great.
Time. And I didn't try
very
to
well. No, you were
read
strictly
your face.
Nylon was very good.
I did a good. And I'm looking at a nonylphenol ethylate. Well, you'll tell me how to pronounce this.
No, NPEs, probably not. I won't.
Phthalates and other things. Right here on Chris Fabry Live and a Toxic Tuesday. You will smile between now and the end of the program, and something's going to touch your heart on this edition of Chris Fabry Live. Online at chrisfabrylive.org. It's a Toxic Talk Tuesday with Andrea Fabry, founder of Moms Aware, mother of nine, co-host of Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, former co-host of Midday Connection on Moody Radio. Her name is Andrea Fabry, and she is my personal toxic life coach. We're talking about fabric. We're talking about clothes. How do you go non-toxic, especially in the summer? We're talking summer wear, beach wear, that type of thing. And we've got so many different people who want to talk with you. Andrea, let's go to Tucson, Arizona. I could tell this is a plant because we don't have a station. Well, there are people you could listen to.
A friend of mine, and I said
phone.
You should call in, Jordan. Hey, Jordan.
Hi,
Jordan. It's great to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, you mentioned rayon earlier as being a semi-synthetic, and these semi-synthetics are sort of natural fibers because they're made from like wood pulp. Rayon is made from wood pulp, but it's a chemical process that creates it.
Correct. Yes. But you can see where, say, for instance, my daughter, she does a little better with that than, say, straight synthetic.
Right.
But you're right. It's unless it's, and I assume they obviously can't make organic rayon.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Because of the chemicals. So something that's interesting about this is, bamboo fiber is something you'll see coming out, and it's becoming very popular. And people think, oh, wonderful, it's sustainable. And true, it's more sustainable than wood pulp, but the process is the same. It's a bamboo rayon. I've seen this done with hemp as well. So just, again, the awareness, just to be aware that natural fibers like bamboo and hemp be a very chemical process.
So you really need to look for the term organic, I assume.
Organic would be a term to look for. With these fibers, if it drapes and feels rayon, it's really, bamboo is not naturally soft. It's a type of wood. So if it's naturally soft, there's a chemical softening that's happening to that.
So what in your mind is the softest natural fabric?
Wool can be extremely soft. People might be surprised to hear that, but it can be beautiful. And merino wool is just the most gorgeous soft fabric.
And what's merino wool from?
It's from a merino sheep. It's a breed.
Oh, a breed of sheep. Okay.
Yes,
here's the thing about Jordan and why I asked her to call. Jordan is a seamstress, I think you can tell, and she's a wonderful one. And you competed at a national competition this year, Make It With Wool, right?
Yes.
So what did you make? And I know you won some awards.
Yes. I actually didn't use Merino this year, but my sister Mariah did, and she also competed in her category. And I used mohair and got a special award for the mohair content. I made a lace knit shell out of that mohair, and I made a coat out of a gorgeous soft woven wool.
And are your fabrics super expensive? Because someone's listening going, I'd love to sew with those, but how do you afford it?
Look online. They're not terribly expensive. The prices of other fabrics are going up. And so, yes, fabric can be expensive. But if you look online or if you shop sales, you can find natural fibers online. And it's pretty comparable to the synthetics. One thing about wool is the demand is not that high. We're hoping to change that through programs like the Make It With Wool competition. But because that demand is not high, the price isn't actually that high either.
Okay.
I'm getting confused, though, because Mariah used Merino, but you used mohair. There's a lot of M's
there.
In there.
And then there's Jordan.
Jordan, thanks for calling today. Well spoken. Well said.
Oh, yes.
So from our lone listener in Tucson, Arizona, other than Tebow, obviously. I wonder if Merino... wool. I wonder if they say Semper Fi for Merino wool. How about Kelly in Indianapolis? Hey, Kelly, how are you today?
Hi, Chris and Andrea.
Hey, Kelly.
I'm doing well, thank you. The reason I'm calling, I love to buy made in the USA products of any type. I tried to find a toaster, impossible, and a space heater was next to impossible. Mm-hmm. I don't mind paying a little bit more for clothing or appliances or whatever, but finding it is the hard part.
You know, now I didn't, this is not what I included in our resource list because we have a lot of sites. We have a list of resources and sites that offer organic, natural fibers in the form of bedding and baby clothes. And I didn't check to see how many on this list are made in America, but I suspect a very high number are. Mm-hmm. So I would check, number one, I'd check this list that we're offering, and it's not an exhaustive list. And then there are some, well-known manufacturers. I think Patagonia is made in America, or at least offers part of its line. There's a lot of these big retailers that are, or manufacturers now offering at least part made in America. And I don't know that one as well. But, you know, I think for us as consumers, it does involve some work. And I think that's what you're saying, Kelly. It's like, well, I just that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I just want to go down the street to my local department store and I want to be able to get it. It's just easier. And this is a little more legwork, but I think it's very rewarding if you have a reason to be diligent in searching that out. So I know that there are some very, very good clothing manufacturers in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I even heard of a guy that tried to make his own toaster. I think it was on NPR. And I'm like, well, I'm not going that far.
Yes. Well, and that was one of the things that, thanks for your call. That was one of the things that we talked about with the kind of shirt that I gravitated toward. And this was when we lived in Colorado and we lived near a hardware store that sold everything, you know, tack as well as lumber. And they would have this section where they would have the shirts. And it would be like work shirts, men who work outside, kind of real heavy cotton. And that company that sold those.
Made in America and has one of the oldest ones in the country and still exists. And we just, gravitated away towards something more convenient than the local hardware store.
Well, I couldn't find that anymore. And so I went to the one and here I come up. And I didn't know. If you'd asked me yesterday before you found out it was made in Pakistan, I would have told you, I think it's probably made in America because of this company.
Yeah.
But no. And would you say you are less likely to find an American-made product in a big
Absolutely
box?
Absolutely, you are.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is very shocking, really, because I just went through my closet just recently just to look at that, and it was astounding how many countries, the variety of countries, but I didn't have one thing that was made here.
Kay is in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Kay.
Hello. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Kay.
I was just wondering about a shoe manufacturer. You were talking about flip-flops, and that caught my ear. Living in Florida, when we get off work, we put our hair up in scrunchies, and we get in flip-flops almost immediately.
Of course you do. Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with something, to let your feet breathe. So and it's simple to put on. I gotcha. Now,
right.
I did not come prepared on that flip-flop question, but my beloved toxic coachee or
so
trainee
you want to know where to get it, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So if you take your search engine and you type in non-toxic flip-flops, I came up with probably about five or six different places to go that...
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you exactly, tell you what the brands are, but the one that I have here in front of me is five eco-friendly flip-flops for summer.
So it's an article that somebody's maybe a blog or something, or
now it's from the company, but they list the different types that they have.
Now, how much are they? Can you check that out? Because here's another problem that we have, right? That we, I can get them for $2 or $3.
Exactly.
But how much are these? We don't have all day. So, okay. Well, my guess is it would be a little more expensive. But again, when you have a reason and a purpose, sometimes you don't. And to support some of these companies who have a vision for using more natural, okay, that's a double bonus in my mind.
Here's one company that sells, it's called Cute Non-Toxic Flip-Flops. This is like the bottom of the line is $16. So that's more than $2 or $3.
It is more.
But if this is important to you, then there you go.
And thank you very much.
I'm glad you called. It's a great question.
Yeah.
As a mom, this is where I think it's very hard. And so very hard. So I'm always on the side of moms who are listening to this going, well, I just know I can't afford organic flip-flops for all my kids this summer. And I want to say, I get it. We can't necessarily make these huge changes, and nor do we need to feel guilty for going and spending $2 or $3 on a pair of flip-flops. That's not the point. It's just, it's starting to think a little differently. So don't tackle it all. Don't feel like you have to do it all. It's just, it has helped me so much in the last 2 years to be thinking along this line. Do I always buy organic for my kids? Absolutely not. But for instance, at Christmas time, we didn't do a big Christmas, but I did invest in organic socks for some of my older kids because I didn't realize how soft they are and how...
Well, they probably last longer, too, don't they?
And they have lasted so well.
She is so excited about those socks.
But, my son, he's 20-something, and he said, hey, you think you could buy more of those?
So how much are they a piece?
Oh, you know what?
Right, don't tell me.
I don't remember. Sorry,
we've got to get another guy in here, because I am...
You're lost, I know.
I'm fashion-challenged to begin with, but Steve's in Hobart, Indiana, and he is a welder, and now I feel like a real man.
Yes, Steve.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. My question for y'all is, do you know if there's anybody out there making OSHA, which is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, if anybody's making OSHA-approved organic, natural fiber clothing?
For like a welder so that you won't, it's non-fire retardant, right?
Yes.
I see what what you're going with the certification, because you really need that. I wool, by the way, is fire resistant. And one other thing we generally don't know about wool is that it's perfect for when you're too hot and it's great for when you're cold. It's for both the way that it works and the fibers and all with our body temperatures and so forth. It's very protective on both sides. And so it's one of those naturally fire-resistant fabrics.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and let's see if we can't find another welder somewhere in the country or my search engine, where we will get Steve some help here and more calls on this Toxic Talk Tuesday. We're talking about your clothing on this edition of Chris Fabry Live. Thanks a lot for joining us here for Chris Fabry Live. You thought this was going to be all just fashion. No, no, no. We're going to OSHA. We're going to a welder, Steve, in Indiana. And when I typed this into the search engine, it came up with the Occupational Safety and Health Guidelines for Arsenic. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But he wants something that's fire retardant, that is organic. And Andrea Fabry, my personal toxic life coach, is here. We could not find anything there, and I'm hoping, Steve, that there's somebody that will call in and will say, hey, you know, can give you some help, so hang on. But you were saying in the break that that patch that they put, it's got to have the patch on it, right?
That's correct. It's a little, it's actually about two paragraphs long, and they print it, and then it has to be sewn in onto the garment that demonstrates this product went through OSHA's testing and was approved.
But the patch has caught fire before.
Yes, my patch has caught fire before on me before, and that's a whole lot of fun. So,
oh man.
Well, there is a lot of evidence now that the fire retardants aren't working, and the history of them is kind of interesting with the tobacco industry and such. I think we've been on the wrong path with the whole fire retardant and chemical issue. Now, I have a question. Can you wear organic cotton next to your skin and then wear the welding clothing over that?
Yes, we can. That is okay. Definitely approvable.
Then, you know, in my mind, that's what I would do at the very least.
Were you thinking about doing that, being a welder?
Well, if I were a welder, you know.
What kind do you use, acetylene torch, or what kind of torch do you use?
I use mostly stick welding, just put the rod in the clamps and strike an arc.
Okay. But that can get really, really hot when you talk about putting on more clothes
I understand that.
You know,
that's a little overwhelming, except that sometimes, well, think about the wool and the fact that that's a positive thing when you're warm. So maybe there are answers out there. Again, it's kind of tracking them down when you have an interest. And I think this whole industry in our country, anyone listening who has an interest in this topic, I just think of young people and the direction they can go with their careers. And these job opportunities and creative outlets are rising to make use of natural fabrics in setting like these.
All right, Steve, hang on. I want to get your information because... Oh, is that? Are they on? Are they ready to go now, Tricia? A caller who has to wear similar clothes. Let's hang on, Steve. Hang on just a second. Let me take Faith's call in Florida. Hi, Faith. Go right ahead.
Hey,
let me
Faith.
Try one more time.
Oh, Linda.
Oh, this is Linda. All right, just a little miscommunication there. We're in the business. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Good. How are you? And you can call me Faith. That's even a better name.
Linda Faith.
What's up?
Hey, well, I just wanted to respond to Steve's call about the fire-retardant clothing because in my occupation, we are required to wear OSHA-approved clothing that is fire-resistant, flame-retardant. And because the fabrics that you're talking about, the natural fibers are the ones that are the most resistant to flame and to fire. And so the clothes that we wear, they do have the patch that are sewed right in them, and they give you the calorie content of how much of each of the fabrics is in the clothing. And it's made by a company called Bulwark, which is Bulwark, and that's all they make is flame-resistant and fire-retardant clothing. I'm sure they make other things, but they come specially approved by OSHA.
And it's natural? Is that what you said? It's all natural?
Yeah, they're mostly natural with cotton, nylon, and they have a rating of the synthetic. There are no synthetics in them, but they have a rating of the calorie content of each of those fabrics.
That's a step in the right direction. Thank you. Perfect.
What do you think, Steve? Does that make sense to you?
That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Okay.
God bless you, Linda. Thanks a lot for calling.
Linda Faith.
Is Faith still with us, or did we lose Faith? We've got Faith.
We do have Faith.
Trisha said we got Faith. Yeah, she's 2 weeks from her due date. Of course she does. Hey,
hello?
Faith in Beverly Hills. How
Hi,
are
Faith.
You?
Hi, Andrea. I sew for a hobby, and I noticed that the fabric in particular that is sold in Walmart have written on the selvages not to be used for children's sleepwear.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Because everything has that on there, then you can't use anything to make sleepwear for children.
Well, in 2000, I believe it was 2000, we did understand then that we needed to go a different direction because Tris, which was one of the main fire retardants in children's sleepwear, was found to be detrimental to infants' health. So then what were we to do? They then allowed companies to manufacture sleepwear that's organic and cotton, I believe, anyway, natural, as long as it's said on the label, snug fit. has to fit tightly. That's a big issue with children, inflammability or strangulation, actually, mm-hmm. if it's got to be tight fitting. So I don't know the specifics of buying a fabric and then making something for a child. I honestly don't know that. I do know that it is possible to buy infant wear that has no fire retardant. So that is good news after the year 2000.
We could talk about then the baby, the question, the mom, the nursing mother question. I mean, there's so many different things.
It just goes on.
Let me take one more call, though. Faith, I'm really
glad.
Yes,
thanks, Faith.
We had Faith. Now we have Ann in Chicago. Ann, your question quickly.
Hi. I was just wondering, I'm all in favor of organics, and I was hearing the segment on organic footwear, and I was thinking about the socks and wondering when it's exposed to chemicals in the water as you wash things, is there really a plus to organic fabric?
That's a great question, and I definitely think there is, because the studies show that the chemicals will continue to release over time. Although I will say, if you have to have something synthetic, it is advisable to wash it 3 times just to get that initial kind of off-gassing out of the way. But they do continue to release over time. And I agree, you know, what's the point if you're going to wash in heavy detergents? Why go organic? And this goes back to our very first Toxic Talk Tuesday, where we introduced, you know, a recipe, a very simple, affordable, and this is where your costs can offset, recipe for laundry soap, I guess, if you will. Detergent kind of implies chemicals, but you can wash your clothing chemical free affordably. And I know that's a little overwhelming, but at the very least, I would look for some of the brands even in your big box stores that offer a more natural detergent. So there's a lot of hope for that, but that's a, you know, very good point.
A professional dry cleaner write and say that people want us to clean their clothes and they want all the starch in there, but because of the different chemicals that are in, you know, or the formaldehyde finish, it breaks down, the tensile strength is weakened, and the shirt starts to stress tear in the elbows, and they blame us for this when it's really a product of, you know, this is what's going on with the clothing that you give
us. Yes, absolutely. So we have to be willing to, you know, iron ourselves or, you know, not put that burden on somebody else, in a sense.
Be willing to iron yourselves. I like that. I really like it. You know, the other thing is they talked about the company Bulwark, and I went back to a mighty fortress. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. And so we'll talk about that another time. Andrea, thanks
Thank
a lot
you.
For being with us.
Is it over?
It's over for this time,
okay.
But come back and see us again.
I'd love to.
For another Toxic Talk Tuesday. And thank you for listening. Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio in Chicago.